Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Let me begin with a question. Do you like reading? Yes? Okay. Do you like reading biographies and autobiographies? Some of you will say, that's not really a genre of book I like. Others of you, yeah, I like a good one of those. Well, to read the Bible is to read many biographies and autobiographies. The Bible is packed with the testimonies of many people about themselves and/or the biographer writes about a man or woman, and this has been preserved for us in the Word of God. King David is such an example. What we have in the Bible is much that he has written about himself, autobiography, as in the Psalms. And of course, we have his biography as recorded in 1 and 2 Samuel and the early chapters of 1 Kings. And we have come all the way from the New Testament book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 to where we left off yesterday at 2 Samuel chapter 7. Why? We have done so to capture a case study of someone who really, very genuinely loved God and exercised that love by willful obedience to God. And yet, David sins. David helps us in our dilemma. The truth is, many of us really do love God, and we want to show him our love, and there is a lot of obedience in our lives. There is. But we are very aware of our disobedience, and this really gets us down. In my own life, oh, I must confess, I love the Lord, but some days I have a hard time expressing that love in obedience because disobedience seems to rule my mind and my heart and my words and my actions. What a struggle it can be to love God by obeying God in this world. As a reminder, we have seen David love God in obedience to God when he defeated Goliath. And last time we moved here to 2 Samuel 7 so that we can read David love God manifested in obedience in prayer. How much and how well a person loves God is demonstrated in that person's prayers. Let's listen to David's. And I remind you, this is just one of his many prayers recorded for us. As we move to this for context, we need to know that at the beginning of the chapter, the Lord speaks to David through the prophet Nathan. This is what we know as the Davidic covenant. It is God's remarkable and faithful, unconditional promise to David and his offspring. This is one of five irrevocable, unconditional covenants made by God in the Bible. And 2 Samuel 7 is a crucial chapter in all of the scripture. What happened is that David wanted to build a house for God, but God rejects that idea and instead makes this covenantal promise to David, actually saying that God is the one who will build David a house and more. So in this prayer, you will hear about houses. That's context. After this covenant promise is given, David responds to God in a beautiful prayer, reflective of David's love for God. 2 Samuel 7, beginning in verse 18. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and David said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was insignificant in your eyes, O Lord God, for you have spoken also of the house of your servant concerning the distant future. And this is the custom of man, O Lord God." Again, what more can David say to you? "For you know your servant, O Lord God. For the sake of your word and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to let your servant know. For this reason, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation on the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, and to make a name for himself, and to do a great thing for you, and awesome things for your land, before your people whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from nations and their gods? For you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and his house, confirm it forever, and do as you have spoken, that your name may be magnified forever by saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel. And may the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made a revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are truth, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now therefore may it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing may the house of your servant be blessed forever. Well, I love this, don't you? David, lover of God, before the Lord in prayer, recounting all that God has done and who God is. You are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you. God went to redeem for himself as a people, and to make a name for himself. Your name be magnified forever. O Lord God, you are God, and your words are truth. Well, these are some of the highlights from this prayer. I hear there love for God by obedience to God. And David went in and sat before the Lord and spoke to the Lord like this. This is reflective of an intimate gathering, God and David. 2 Samuel chapter 7. So in our brief and quick survey of David's life thus far, we have him defeating Goliath, and we have him in prayer before God, and still moving at a fast pace. We come now to 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. There is a definite and painful, a tragic and sharp change here in 2 Samuel chapter 11, when something happens that throws off the trajectory of David's life. Up until this time, from all the way back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when David's story begins, and then all the way through 1 Samuel and until 2 Samuel 11, David lives in loving obedience to the Lord, and God blesses him as a result. What I want to do is to read 2 Samuel 11, verses 1. Let's go down to verse 17. I will just have time to read this, and then we will discuss it on Monday. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem. Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent messengers and took her, and when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, "I am pregnant." Then David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." So Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked concerning the welfare of Joab and the people and the state of the war. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." And Uriah went out of the king's house, and a present from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and did not go down to his house. Now when they told David, saying, "Uriah did not go down to his house," David said to Uriah, "Have you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in temporary shelters, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? By your life and the life of your soul, I will not do this thing." Then David said to Uriah, "Stay here today also, and tomorrow I will let you go." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now David called him, and he ate and drank before him, and he made Uriah drunk. And in the evening he went out to lie on his bed with his lord's servants, but he did not go down to his house. Now in the morning David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. David had written in the letter, saying, "Place Uriah in the front line of the fiercest battle, and withdraw from him so that he may be struck down and die." So it was, as Joab kept watch on the city, that he put Uriah at the place where he knew there were valiant men. The men of the city went out and fought against Joab, and some of the people among David's servants fell. And Uriah the Hittite also died. Join us on Monday for more on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.